God, we've come to worship this morning, stomping snow off of our boots, or our eyes watering and cheeks tingling from the cold. Some of us may have had to shovel at our homes. Others have picked our way carefully on slippery sidewalks. Thank you for bringing us here to worship, and thank you for the mysterious beauty of this winter season. We pray today for all who face hardship because of winter, for those who have experienced water main breaks this week, for those who struggle to afford heat or food, for those who are living outside or are walking the streets until the shelters open their doors. This weather can bind us together. Open our hearts to reach out to those in need, checking on people who need help because they can't get out, or lending a helping hand with clearing cars and sidewalks. We also pray for travelers and those who operate emergency vehicles and public transit, who work hard to get people where they need to go. Father, you've blessed us with talent, prosperity, and abundance. Guide us in a purposeful way to share these generous gifts to the benefit of others who are not as blessed. We pray for your guidance in this throughout our lives, in the hopes that in some way we can bring about a better world closer to your will. We know all things are possible, as demonstrated in your Son, Jesus. Please give us that mustard seed of faith to overcome our barriers and those of others. May you guide with grace and thoughtful reflection Reverend Julian Aldous, Mark Brodus, our ministry director, and our council members in their responsibilities. We also pray for your blessings upon our neighbors at Christ the King Anglican Church. Compassionate God, look into our hearts and minds and help us deal with the problems that we struggle with. Bless all those in this church who quietly go about their work to make this your church a refuge of peace and spiritual fulfillment. The world is in very troubled times, with crumbling finances, natural disasters, and political unrest. We think of the economic troubles in Venezuela, of wars that won't end in Syria, and insurmountable walls in Israel-Palestine. We pray for those who are shouldered with the responsibility of finding solutions to these problems, that you in your compassion will guide them to a better world, keeping them ever mindful of the burdened place put upon the most vulnerable. Heavenly Father, we also ask that you would make us mindful of our brothers and sisters around the world who need us to stand with them as they suffer in your name. Even as some find joy and beauty this week, we know that others feel frozen with grief, and we pray for those who are sorrowing over the loss of loved ones. Others in our community feel the heavy weight of sickness, or they're coping with pain or the anxiety of waiting for test results. We pray for your blessings, warmth of spirit, and compassion for those who need our prayers. In this quiet moment, we offer the names of those whose concerns are close to our hearts. Lastly, Lord, give us the perspective of children who love the snow and find it dreamlike. A change from the routine, a dazzling playground made just for them. This week, give us the eyes of children to see the gifts all around us, the pleasures of each other's company, the delight of good food, good company, and the contagiousness of a good laugh. Almighty God, we are your children and look to you in prayer. Hold us always by the hand. Reveal to us that you hear us, that you are among us, providing what is best for us, to the glory of your name. Amen.
It comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 14 to 32. I think you can find it on page 1018 in your pew Bibles. Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll, the prophet Isaiah, was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prison, freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked him. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." And all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his message had authority. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word to us, and I thank you that as we look at this passage together, you will enlighten our hearts and bring renewed perspective and goad us to action. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, firstly, I want to thank you for your very warm welcome here today. Cold outside, but warm inside. Isn't that what we want? So I'm pleased to be here and bring greetings from Church of Christ the King as well. So they are having today Tula van Gaspeek, who is from the Lutheran Church. So we trust that goes well today for them. Secondly, I want to just apologize because I thought you started at 10:30. We start at 10:30, and I was thinking that's good because I have an 8:30 service I do as well. So I thought there's plenty of time. I'll shovel the driveway, get the car out, and we'll be fine. And I thought that's strange. There's a lot of people here early at 10 before 10 o'clock. That's great. There's going to be loads of people here, but I'm okay for time. And then somebody said to me, "No, well, we start at 10." So I apologize for that. We all make mistakes. I don't know whether the email said 10 o'clock or not, but whether I just didn't read it. Anyway, on to our passage today and the one message for us today. So have you heard the news? John Tory is in Etobicoke right now and we're about to meet him. Well, maybe that news didn't fill you with excitement. It's actually not true. Anyway, but maybe if I said a famous celebrity or a person was coming here, then you would get excited. So maybe for younger people like Justin Bieber or Nelly Furtado, pop idols, or maybe for older people, Jordan Peterson or Jim Carrey. I'm trying to keep them all Canadian, as you'll notice. Excitement about people coming, excitement that somebody fresh is going to uplift us. Well, this passage is about somebody who was exciting the crowds, Jesus. And maybe people knew about what was going on with Jesus. They'd heard about the temptations, which is in the previous passage, in the wilderness by the devil. They'd heard about that. And they heard about Jesus' baptism as well. Whatever the news was, it was spreading, a bit like wildfire. And so good and bad news has an effect, doesn't it? We hear often it's the bad news we get, but good news too has an effect. Something tremendous is going on. So then we see Jesus coming here to the synagogue. He comes here, and his teaching was refreshing. It was a new way of looking at things. Verse 15 in our passage said that he was praised by all. People loved it when they heard him. They warmed to his message. It was one of hope and of deliverance. Not all preachers are like that, and not everybody gathers such a big crowd. And not everybody is praised. But I remember many years ago, I went to a conference in London by a guy called John Wimber from the Vineyard Fellowship. Anybody heard of him? Yep. We sing some of the songs today as a result of the Vineyard Church movement, which, and I think you were singing some today as well here, of that movement. And he was a person who was a great teacher. He expounded and he demonstrated, and he worked using miracles akin to those in the early church as well. And so I remember there was an airy excitement when he came on stage, and there was expectation, and he was praised by all the people around. It was the fact that so many people were drawn. There were thousands of people who come to these conferences and hear and see what was going on, very much like that magnetizing effect that Jesus had as well. But then later, criticism was leveled at him, and we see that's what happened in our story as well. So verse 16, though, says, before we get to that point, it says, he stood up to read, and there was nothing new. This was his custom, that they did this like we do. There's various customs that we have, and I've noted your customs here today. I don't know if it's every week the same here, but there's similar things we do in our Anglican church as well. We have times when we read scripture, and we have times of prayer. And so Jesus was going through those normal motions which happened in the synagogue. The difference was, though, that what he was reading on that day, the scroll was handed to him. And it says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What an amazing passage to be handed to read and then to say, that this is fulfilled in your hearing today. He read it and people's eyes were fixed upon him as though this moment was a moment they were waiting for. Imagine hearing, though, that for the first time, that passage being read with Jesus, and you'd heard this guy, this amazing guy, was reading it. At that point, you would have no doubt that you felt this was a very powerful and unforgettable moment. Then what happened next would have definitely sealed it, because he used those very words. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, they may not have fully understood all the implications of this at that point. But here was Jesus making this bold statement that he was the fulfillment of that particular prophecy in Isaiah. It's rather like somebody coming here today, and it's like me coming here today and proclaiming, I'm saying to you, look, I am the one who's going to save and rescue you. You don't need to look any further because I'm here. Imagine if I said that and stood up and said that. You might first of all be excited and amazed at that, and then you wonder what this is going to look like. Your problems and issues that you've had are going to be changed and transformed, especially if you're blind or oppressed or in any way being held captive to anything. This would truly be good news for those people. Imagine me saying that, and this was going to happen today here amongst people. We were there in a synagogue, met that picture in our minds, if we have that now. This would be truly good news. Then, as in this story, you might then ask, well, where do you come from? I know you're a minister at Christ the King. You're a local person. But what makes you different from other people? So from this vantage point, the place and position that Jesus had with all the hearers in the synagogue, you would think that Jesus would want to make the most of it, and then he'd want to perform those miracles and to demonstrate it, wouldn't you? But then it changes its tone. Jesus starts by saying that a prophet is not welcome in his hometown. Well, with words like that, it's not really then, it would seem reasonable then that Jesus wouldn't be welcome if he said that. If I stood up here and said to you, well, I'm not going to be welcome here in this church, well, what am I going to expect? I'm going to expect that you to say, well, look, I don't like you. You know, you might as well go on your way. So that is a scenario. I'm just trying to bring it up to date for us to think of how it would have been. So this is quite a strange scenario. Jesus could have simply been gracious in their presence and then performed some miracles, and then others would have followed and his fame would have continued to spread in that region. However, God's ways are not our ways. Now you've heard that phrase before, and we've all experienced that as well in our own lives. God's ways are not our ways. Jesus doesn't do the ordinary. He doesn't do the predictable. As his disciples, we're going to find that a bit later on. Imagine them being told, you go and feed 5,000 people. Here's five loaves and two fish. Now you go and feed them. Well, not me. No. Yes, you go and feed them. Not predictable. Or tell him to go and find money inside a fish to pay the taxes. Well, that was pretty unusual, isn't it? I know there are fish that do seem to get coins stuck in their throat, but that's because people throw them into the pond and then they say, don't do that anymore. But Jesus did the unpredictable. He didn't do things the way that people expected. He then gave a couple of examples as well in this passage. He told them about Elijah being fed by a widow, not in his hometown, but not in Israel, but in a land called Sidon. So different. And then he told them about the story about Naaman, the leper, who got healed by Elisha, but wasn't an Israelite. Rather, he was a commander in the Syrian army. Now imagine that. If you tell people good news is going to happen, and then tell them it's not actually going to happen here and now, and you won't want me to do it here, then no miracles or nothing else. That's what Jesus was effectively saying to them. He's saying it's not going to happen here. As I said, Jesus is something else, and he doesn't do it like other people. Jesus provoked them, these people in this case, so much so that they actually weren't like him anymore. But they didn't get it. They didn't understand why. So why did Jesus do this? Why did he go about it in this way when he could have done it in an easier way? Well, Jesus came to save all people. His mission was not only to those in Israel, but rather to everyone. Everyone was supposed to be included. He was trying to let them know that God was reaching everyone, but they weren't the only special people around. And they had to be prepared, and they'd be prepared for God to perform miracles among the Gentiles and unbelievers, not just them. Now their anger, therefore, rose at this point. It says they wanted to take him out and throw him off the cliff. He must have caused a real stir, didn't he, in that sense, so much so. They weren't just calmly just saying, escort him out of the building, as you would do here. If I stood up here, you said, well, come on, quietly just make your way out of the building. No, they wanted to throw him off. They were livid about what was going on. He was no longer the flavor of the month. So what about us all today, here and now? What is it trying to say to us? We all claim to be Jesus followers. If we say we're Christians and followers of Jesus, that's who we are. And we want to do then the things that Jesus did. And this might not always be the popular thing. We may be misunderstood by others for doing that. Now there are people across this world, and we've every day, who are dying for their faith in Jesus. People are telling others about the good news of Jesus and they're being imprisoned. Countries such as Iran or North Korea is the worst for persecution of Christians. People are challenging others about their way of life because they love these people, but they're being rejected for it. Jesus said himself, if you love me, you will obey my commands. We would rather have someone say to us, perhaps, I love you no matter what you do. My compassion is so strong that I'll overlook everything in your life and won't demand a change from you. Jesus' way, though, is not that way. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. But many people, many preachers are giving a message which is soft today, a message about God's love that is so all-encompassing, it doesn't really matter what we do. He isn't bothered about what we do. No, the message is that if you love me, you'll obey me. Or your, another way of putting it is, take up your cross and follow me, whatever that looks like for you. So Jesus is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. And it's not necessarily a popular message the world wants to hear. It is a message of love, but that love, therefore, demands a response. I'm currently taking some courses down at Wycliffe College. Anybody know where Wycliffe College is? Yes, right in the heart of town. Yes, it's the Anglican Seminary College there. I'm just doing a few more courses at the moment. And I'm doing them to keep my brain active, partly for that, but also in the process of gaining a further qualification. But it's a great place to be just to stimulate one's mind and thinking. So this study I've been doing this past week, we were required to look at that passage where it talks about Abraham offering Isaac, his son, to be a sacrifice. I'm sure you're familiar with that story. Now this story is a somewhat strange story, as it seems to go against anything that what God is like. Now we know that God later on said, "You shall not kill." And yet God asked Abraham to kill his own son. Now if you know the story, you know that he took him up the mountainside and they placed on him the wood to be able to set the fire for the offering. He was about to kill him. He had his knife raised when God called out, "Stop." And then he saw that ram in the bushes and offered that instead of his son. Now this was an unusual story. It is not necessarily the way that everybody is going to be asked to sacrifice their children. That's not the point of the message for that one. But it is a strange way of looking at things. God's ways are not our ways. God was testing Abraham to see whether he really actually loved him and he would obey his command. And then God provided that ram as a way out. And then we know God gave him a son, but also gave him nations from that. So why am I retelling you this story? This seems to be an odd way of doing things. Just like Jesus telling the hearers that they wouldn't accept him. However, God sometimes asks more of us than we sometimes even imagine. We're sometimes asked to go through difficult times. Sometimes we think we can no longer perhaps take it anymore. He asks us sometimes also to lay things down for him as well. Well, the good news is, though, that today he has come to set people free, as we said in our passage, to open blind eyes, both spiritually and physically, to set people free from addictions, and to say that he will restore each of us. Now, you may not have been that hopeful when you came to the service today. I don't know. You obviously had some people hope that you'd get here because you shoveled the driveway, some of you. You made it, so we're here. But you may have come in with things internally which are weighing you down. Life might be feel like it's got on top of you. You may not feel like you're coping that well. Well, today, though, I'm saying that God wants to come to you and restore you and give you a hope and a future again. That's God's message to you today. This is the good news. It's still the same as when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. And as Jesus' followers, we can expect that he will come and heal and restore, as well as ask things of us which we never thought possible. Now, if you relate to this message in any way and need to come to God and be refreshed, I would love to pray with you, and I'll be available at the end as well for that. If you know that you need to put your life right with God as you believe to the lie that God doesn't really care about what you get up to, then come before him again today. I encourage you to do that, to put yourself right with him. Invite him again to be that Lord and Savior of your life. Now, you may also have come as a visitor today. I don't know if there are any visitors here, or you may have come not really knowing God that well, or never given your life over to God. Well, this is an opportunity today to invite him to come in and to be that Lord of your life, to direct your life, forgive the past, or as we say, putting Jesus in that number one place as a friend and Lord. So to take that opportunity, as he will come and transform your ways of thinking and being and fill you with his love. We were singing our songs earlier about praising God and praising him for his love and his spirit. And that's true. And it says, Jesus died so we might be free. We were singing those words as true. They're still true, same as they were 2,000 years ago. So God's ways are not our ways. You may have come with all sorts of things today. And you might be saying, questioning God's ways in your life. But I encourage you to go back to God. Encourage you to seek out other people who can aid and help you in your life too. Because God is here the same as he was 2,000 years ago. Jesus came and he set people free. What a wonderful message of hope and deliverance it is. So the invitation is for all of you. Come and receive. I'm going to close with a prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each person here today that as we've been challenged, we'll be changed by your message of hope and love and restoration. I pray for those here who need to receive and accept Jesus' message of dying for them and giving themselves to God again, and that you would assure them of your love and forgiveness. And may we all go from here challenged, but with our hearts warmed and motivated to action, to love God first and to love our neighbours as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.